My name is Pete and I'm an addict.
Hi. And
thanks, Simon, for taking the meeting. And I've been coming to this meeting for the last 4 weeks, and I heard about this meeting and someone said it's a new format and it's a bit different. And I started coming in immediately, like from the first meeting. I really loved the format because it really just carried a really strong message. And I liked the time of the week that it was, and I liked the speakers, and I liked the room, I liked everything about it. And I thought, yeah, that'll be years before everyone asked me to do something there. And last week, Simon said to me, would I do the chair? And I said, yeah, I'd love to. And I said, I'm really flattered that you would ask me. And he said, yeah, you should be. So I immediately got into this place of, well, what does that mean? What? So I'm not good enough to do it, or I'm not, you know, just because, you know, it's just the head goes, isn't it? The head just goes, and you kind of go, oh, he only asked because no one else could do it. And the thing that sort of most goes through my head is like, And what I have to remember is that doing a chair isn't an audition, and isn't an interview, it's not an opportunity to make friends, it's a chance to give back what was given to me and to just carry my message and what my recovery has been and how my life has been and why I'm here. So I am really grateful for the opportunity, if I am just very nervous. Bit of background. I'm 42. I've been a member of NA since the 31st of July 2003. That's 2.5 years. And my recovery has been all about NA. This wasn't my path. I didn't go to a treatment centre. I didn't go to rehab. And I was really lucky and I didn't end up in jail. And I got to a place where I desperately needed help. And I realized, and I had the gift of realising that I needed help. And I wasn't even conventionally 12-stepped. I knew that there was something called NA and I went to a meeting. And from the first time that I went to a meeting, I just thought, well, I'm going to try that because it looks like it works. It looks like there's something that can be there for me. But it's a long way from where you start off to get to that. I'll try and cram it in as much as I can. There's something I want to say about my dad, which is I spent a lot of time like grizzling in meetings and bitching and moaning about all the bad things that happened to me and all the bad things that my parents did. And it's something I've never shared in a meeting before. I just want to quickly say about it now. When I was a kid, my dad's best mate, my uncle John was a heroin addict, and him and his partner, they were both using addicts. And this is, you know, 35 years ago. This is before NA, and he was a lovely bloke, and he's not around now. And when I first started drinking, when I was about 11, and it was a whole lot of cousins who were all about 10 years older than me, and they all started getting married at the same time. So every summer for about 3 years in a row, there'd be like these big weddings. And the first time I ever got drunk was at a wedding, and then I loved it. And then the next time it was like, I knew what it was going to be, so I got straight at it. And the second time I did it, I got, you know, absolutely slaughtered, disgraced myself, threw up, you know, all the usual sort of stuff, you know, when you learn to drink. And the next day, my dad sat me down and he told me the story about John. And he told me, you know, the nature of what this is about. And my dad's always been a drinker, but he gave this incredible gift, because what he gave me was this real, real dread of heroin, because the way that he painted this picture was one of, you just don't want to go there. And I didn't really get all of that, but what it gave me was like, well, I'm never ever going to do drugs. I'm never ever going to do drugs. Meanwhile, every moment I got, I was drinking like a lunatic. And you get a little bit older and sort of like, you know, drinking becomes the big thing, and you got your mates who, and they start taking drugs. And I was really judgmental. It was all, well, I'm never going to do that. Never, ever, ever going to do that. And people start smoking weed, and you go, well, they're wankers, not going to do that. And then you start doing it. You know, you make this promise to yourself that you're never going to do it, and then you cross over a line, and then you do it. And you think, ah, yeah, well, the reason I do it is different to the way they do it, and I'm different, and I'm never going to have a problem with that. And you carry on from there, and it just goes through, you know, the progression, you know, and every little line, it's like, you know, I'm never going to do powders. I'm never going to use needles. You know, I'm never going to share needles. And, you know, that was kind of as far as it got for me. There was like a period in my 20s when I did all that experimentation. And I just went, well, I stopped doing that. I'm not an addict. you know, all these things, because I could post-rationalise it and say, oh, I didn't do these things, I didn't do it that badly. When it got to be a problem, I stopped, therefore I haven't got a problem. And so then I just kind of stayed in this like level of using, of just kind of fairly mundane, just alcohol and puff and coke. And I just thought, well, that's, and I've got it under control. And I haven't got a problem, and I don't need anything, and I don't need any help, and I'm going to be all right. And the other real lie that I told myself was, and one day I'm going to grow out of it. One day I'm going to, like, you know, something will come along and I won't want to do this anymore. And I suppose what I'm saying is that it's like we say in the reading, it is a continuing and progressive illness. And I kind of really sort of demonstrated to myself the continuing and progressive nature of this illness. Because from going from having this wonderful sort of gift in it as an early child, like knowing that this is a real bad thing, this is where it's going to end up, and being feared up by it, just slowly, it was like just chipped and chipped and chipped away. So the place that I'd got to when I came to recovery, because I had all the other sort of like, you know, the resistance to it, because I looked at my life and thought, yeah, but I'm still functioning. I'm still okay. I'm not, you know, I'm not as bad as all these people. There can't be people like me in recovery. Like, you know, it's just, I just should be able to sort this out. And I heard a great phrase in a meeting the other week, and someone said, it's the illusion of functionality. Because I thought that it was all right, but it was so far from it. And the place I'd got to was just this terrible, terrible isolation. Every relationship that I'd ever had completely disintegrated. I had, you know, little or no contact with my family, and that was, you know, entirely my fault, because after a long period of having no contact at all, those bridges had been built and they'd been smashed again. Some minor stuff with the law, with being arrested and going to court and all those, you know, silly little things. And my job was saying, yeah, we're gonna sack you and all these sort of things. And I just thought, if I can just hold on to this, if I can just stop doing this for just a little bit, then I'll be all right. And that's what I thought I was going to get when I came into NA. I just thought just a break on this, just to, like, you know, slow it down just a little bit. But I came along, and then I realised the actual nature of this, and how serious it is. But more than that, I was so attracted to the lives and the demeanour and the attitude of the people in the first meeting I was ever in, because they didn't seem like they were tearing their hair out, and they seemed like they could sleep at night. And they seemed like they had clear consciences. And I was looking at people, and they, you know, and people could sit there and they could, you know, it was like this, it was the big meeting in Portobello, and they had the clean time countdown. It was like people with, like, between 15 and 20 years. And all these hands shut up, and I thought, I couldn't believe it. Just, and then you heard stories, you know, and other, you know, stories that are so humbling in the extreme nature of this illness. And then stories that are so similar to mine. They're so, you know, kind of like, you know, NA takes everybody. You know, all that is required is, you know, is a desire to stop. And I suppose what I'm saying about that is that if I have one regret, it's that I didn't come in earlier, that I waited. You know, all the, you know, it wasn't the things that got much, much worse. I could have come in 5-10 years earlier, but pride and lack of knowledge that it was even out there and knowing what it could give me stopped me doing that. So. And overcoming that resistance was a hard thing to keep in. So, you know, to stay and just keep coming back, because it was like, oh, you know, you're in the wrong place. You shouldn't be doing this. You know, you should be able to, like, on your own. But the gift of the program, and the gift of the 12 steps, and the gift of recovery has been so overwhelming for me in just the 2 and a bit years that I've been around, and I still very much consider myself a newcomer. But just in that short period of time, the things that have been given me have been so wonderful that I just feel that I really want to be able to pass that on and do whatever I can to let other people know that. And real keeping it simple, and I know we all know it and we all say it, but it's about service, sponsorship and steps, you know. And that's, and suggestions, and the suggestions to take on those three S's. And the place that I'd got to when I came here was one of, I'll take whatever help I can get. pride was, you know, was out the window. But the point that I got to come in and to overcome just the fear of, you know, that I just did whatever people told me, you know. And, you know, so when people said do 90 meetings in 90 days, I did 90 meetings in 90 days. I did more than 90 meetings in 90 days. And when they said get a sponsor, I looked around and thought, well, I don't know what a sponsor is, but I got really good advice about it. And that was like, don't look for someone who's got what you want. Look for someone who's got what they want. You know, if they're happy with their lives, you know, then that's all you kind of need to know. And I was really lucky because I never volunteered for any service positions, but people kept nominating me really early on. You know, which was a gift, because, like, you know, like about a week in, someone said, oh, he'll do the tea. You know, and that was a meeting. I did that for a year. And it was, you know, that really sort of like helped out. And from then on, I did a tea commitment, which is great because it kind of like just grounded me. I had to be somewhere every week. And then I took a meeting, and that was, you know, it was even better. And I still, you know, I've still got commitments now. And so I believe people who've been around a long time, and they said the way to make this work is to stick in the heart of it. And that's kind of like what I tried to do. So doing the service, and the sponsor, my sponsor's great. I mean, you know, we have a relationship where he's there when I need him. And I don't speak to him every day, and I don't see him every week. And he's not my best mate, and he's not my counsellor, and he's not my big brother. He helps me do the steps, you know. I mean, just one of the biggest gifts that I've got out of this was that, you know, I read out my step 5 to this guy. And when I did that, I got so much acceptance, because all of this horrible, nasty, poisonous, you know, horrible stuff that I've done, that I thought, oh my God, I'll take that to my grave. I told another person. And he went, I've done worse. So it's, you know, but that rid me of the obsession of doing that, of just thinking that I wasn't in the right place. And he's there for me to do the steps. And the steps kind of, the steps are what it's really about. Because as a mechanism for living a life, they are waterproof. I mean, they are just, they're going to work. I get them wrong. I mess them up. I'm not perfect. But they're always there. And they kind of, so much more about myself has been revealed. And so much more that I never knew was the case. And my life has got so much better as a result of it. So, you know, it's a pain, you know. I mean, who wants to do it, you know? But, you know, that's the medicine, you know. And my experience is that I've taken the medicine and I've got a bit better. Not massively better, but like a bit better. And, you know, every time I go forward, I sometimes slip back a little bit. But I so believe that if I stay on this path, I'm never going to have to use drugs again. I'm never going to have to do that stuff again. And all those bad things that I hadn't got to the place of doing, I'm never going to have to get there. And, you know, that's the message that I want to pass on to anyone who is new around and, you know, is thinking, what is this all about? You know, you can do it. You can recover in these rooms. But I don't want you to think that it's, you know, like you start and you get into this program and it's all wonderful overnight and everything sort of like, you know, turns out brilliantly, because bad stuff happens, you know. You know, I lost my job in recovery, you know, and I'm now not working. And it's a gift, actually, because what it's given me is loads of time to, like, work my recovery and loads of time to do more service and loads of time to do my steps. So, you know, it's, you know, life hands you a lemon, make lemonade. It's all right, you know. And I'll just finish on this, because there's something that happened today. Was I've got some very minor medical condition, which, and I'm so resistant to sort of like going to doctors or hospitals. And my default setting is just head in the sand and ignore it. But I kind of go, right, well, I've got a program, I'm working the steps, and this is what I should do. I should take care of this and nip it in the bud if it's bad. So I went to a meeting at lunchtime, and then I went off to the hospital this afternoon to go to a like walk-in clinic. And it was closed. I mean, it was like, it really took me this massive thing to go and do it. I got there and it was shut. So, you know, my life doesn't go the way that I want it to go. And the point of that is that if it was my way, I'd have gone along, I'd have turned up, and they would have said, yeah, you're fine, there's nothing to worry about. But that's not the way it is. Just, you know, I'm not responsible for the outcome, I'm just responsible for the effort. And I think that's my 15 minutes up. But it's been a privilege to be sitting here and speaking to you. So thanks very much.